And welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of the Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? I know you're excited about our guest, and we're going to have this lifetime event happening very soon.
Yes, we are. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks, Neil. And I am excited about our guest. I'm excited for so many reasons, Beth, to meet you. Beth Willman, who is CEO of LSST, the Legacy Survey of Space and Time, which is gigantic, and PhD, I should be calling you Dr. Beth, probably. Beth, you discovered a galaxy. Who discovers a galaxy? And you named it, I love it, Willman 1, which means there'll probably be a Willman 2, a Willman 3, a Willman 4. And I am so excited to meet you and excited for what you're doing. And I want to know how a four-year-old kid that you were at one time becomes someone who discovers a galaxy.
That's a great question. Well, very good to meet you. Honestly, you know, I'm not a stereotypical astrophysicist in that sense. I never gazed up at the sky longingly. I loved math and I loved physics, and that's how I got into all of this.
Wow. And when people call you a rocket scientist, how do you feel sometimes when they tell you that, call you that?
Oh, I find it to be amusing. I love that rocket scientist has become the relatable go-to to describe folks like me, because, you know, somebody says, I'm a scientist. Well, what is that? I'm an astrophysicist. What is that? A rocket scientist, it really kind of gets at the creativity, the scientific approach to things, the scientific method. So I don't mind at all, and I think it's a great term.
You know, I love that you mentioned creativity, because this seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but a science that it's not so cut and dry. Like, you really have to be thinking outside of the box when you're seeing whatever it is you're seeing and looking toward whatever it is, because everything can look so different, and trying to figure out where to go next and what to see. How big of a part does creativity play in it?
It creates, it's an enormous role in becoming an impactful scientist. It's a combination of, you know, technical knowledge, creativity, communication skills. And I love that you made the immediate point of being able to look at things from different directions. Scientific facts are facts, but knowing what questions are interesting to ask and then how to take the information that's available to answer those questions is really where some of the creativity in looking at things from different perspectives comes in. And so, for example, you know, with the discovery of the new type of galaxy, the Willman 1 galaxy that came, gosh, 20 years ago about, when I did my dissertation, that came from, you know, taking a set of data and looking at it in a way people hadn't done before.
You know, and I think about this in so many ways. You discover different things and your creativity. And then, were you looking towards this eclipse for a while, coming to this time and date of April 8th? How many years did you have that on your calendar waiting for this?
So it started during the last total eclipse visible from the United States, 2017. I went to Oregon with my family to view this. I'd never seen one before, and I thought, oh, you know, it's a thing people do. Let's go see the eclipse. And we were all blown away. It's a truly life-changing experience. And the very first thing everybody does who sees a total eclipse of the sun is think, when's the next one I can go see? So it's been since that 2017 eclipse.
Wow. Wow. And this is a big one. And much more of the U.S. will be able to see it than the last one. So how does the last one differ from this one?
So you really hit the nail on the head here. The former eclipse, you know, it hit a lot of key areas of the United States. There were about 11 million U.S. residents who could just walk outside their house and see the total eclipse. The path of this one is such that we have about 32 million residents of the U.S. that can just step outside their house and see the eclipse, and, you know, tens of millions more that can easily hop in their car and drive to the path of totality and either see it for themselves or, you know, go to one of a handful of incredible events like the Ecliptic Festival that are taking place to really bring people together to make the most out of this once-of-a-lifetime experience.
All right, so if the total solar eclipse will be able to be seen in Texas, Arkansas, Missouri, Kentucky, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Those are the best places to see it. Now, other people are going to see it somehow, right? A little bit, right? And what time is the best time to see it?
Absolutely. So everywhere in the continental U.S., you can at least see a partial solar eclipse. And the time that you'll be able to see it depends on exactly where you are in the country. And so, for example, it'll be shortly after lunchtime in Arkansas. The partial eclipse begins at 12:30, with totality at about 1:50 Central Time in Arkansas. Places south will be a bit earlier. Places north will be a bit later than that. But really, key afternoon hours. You know, my sister said, they might cancel school that day because it's going to happen during school bus time. And they don't want people, you know, trying to view the eclipse during school bus time. So so really keep an eye out for that. But I can't urge anyone listening to this strongly enough. Really take a look at the weather. Take a look at how close you live to the path of totality where you could view a total solar eclipse. And really, if you can, get in your car and drive there, because the difference between seeing a partial eclipse and a total eclipse, it's a completely different thing. It's like the difference between almost dying and dying. It's indescribable. It's an extraordinary experience to see it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I have a son who is in Ohio. He works at the Glenn Research Base, and they are canceling school that day. So it's funny that you had mentioned that. Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to be, I believe, in Little Rock, right? Like what all is happening there?
Absolutely. So outside of Little Rock, about 1 hour drive outside of Little Rock in Hot Springs National Park, there's a 4-day music, art, and science festival. It starts on Friday the 5th and ends after the eclipse on Monday. And there's going to be speakers, indie rock artists, visual artists, stargazing in the evenings. There's going to be magicians. Fred Armisen's going to be there. The former host of Mythbusters is going to be there. I'm going to be there with some other folks giving talks. I really can't wait. It's going to be an incredible festival to be part of.
Yeah, that's amazing when you talk about something like this experience, that to come up with this idea. This is exactly the way to bring science together and fun at the same time, especially for, you know, when is the, and so all the different indie artists and all that, how did you come up with this idea to put this together?
And so I'm a lucky participant. I got invited, given my scientific experience, to come bring some of that into the festival. The Atlas Obscura organization is really fascinating. I encourage people to look them up. They focus on, shine a light on unusual places in the world and unusual human experiences. I follow them on X, you know, formerly known as Twitter now. They also put together different trips and tours to unusual places around the world. And they were the ones that developed this festival idea after the 2017 eclipse. And I understand that there's an annual underground music festival called Valley of the Vapors in Arkansas that has been paired up with this. So it's a joint initiative between the Atlas Obscura team, bringing in the music and bringing the art and the science, and then this music festival that's been going on for some time in Arkansas.
That's so cool. And safety is an issue. What can you tell people about safety?
Yeah, so do not look directly at the sun, right? What your mom told you is correct. But you can get, for a low cost, glasses that make it safe to look at the partial eclipse. There's also, and they're inexpensive, you know, a couple bucks each, but be careful where you buy them from. You know, be sure to get them from a reputable dealer. You can also do different things with making pinhole cameras so you can see the partial eclipse projected onto the ground. But again, if you do see that total eclipse during totality, you can look at the sun. It will still look like a flaming orb, but it's just the corona. The whole surface of the sun will be covered by the moon.
I was hearing about this and I'm like, wow, I can't believe it's already here. And don't look into the sun. But I guess a lot of us don't do that, but your kids for sure. And in Ohio, what's the main place in Ohio that is going to be the eclipse? I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so I'm an hour outside of Ohio. Is it the middle of Ohio? Where is it in Ohio that they say is the best place to see it?
Oh, nice. So, yeah, Ohio is a great place. I'm from Pittsburgh, actually. But if I wasn't going to Arkansas, I'd be going into Ohio. Cleveland's a fantastic place. There's a lot of Ohio that's in the path of totality.
Awesome.
Right. It's one of the states that has more than any, I think.
Pittsburgh. And so, you know what? You got to fill your car up with gas the night before and prepare to be in traffic, but it's worth it.
All right. Well, we'll see if I'm going to make it an event or not, or go figure. when's the next time it's going to happen? After this?
Oh, if you don't, yeah, if you don't want to leave the United States, you're looking at 20 years from now. So jump on this one.
Oh, come on now. That's a good idea to leave the United States. Where can we find best information on this festival? Where can we go?
Go to ecliptic.atlasobscura.com. If you just Google the word ecliptic, it'll come up.
I'm going to reach out. I'm going to be doing some more interviews. I want to do some more interviews on this, getting to the final day. But I want to always thank Art Sears Radio Tour for hooking me up to get this going. And appreciate it for you coming by, Beth, and best of luck. Last question Kim has is a love question. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, so a little different than you, not a rocket scientist, but I'm a writer. And I lived a year working on finding the true meaning of love. And the things that I figured out just blew my mind. And one thing that I figured out, though, is love is everything and involved in everything. And you obviously love what you do, because it's not as easy work as people might think it is. I don't know, but maybe people think it's really hard work like I do. But love has got to play a role in it somewhere. And I'm just wondering for you, where does love play a role in what you do?
Oh, I love this question. So love plays a role in what I do. The specific role that I have now as an astronomer is it brings together the way I think in my mind and the way I feel in my heart and what my gut tells me is the right thing to do. And so bringing all those together is what gives me the love for my job.
Awesome. Well, fantastic. We appreciate it. Thanks, Beth.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a good one.
All right, that was a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.